I'm not going through formal training or anything like that, but what you pick up over the years. Sometimes I think that I can be in an advantage because I'm just a regular guy that grew up in the church from a young age, and some of the things and concepts that I've learned have changed over time. There's not a certain mold that I have to fit. And so in that respect, I think it's somewhat of an advantage. The last time I spoke, we talked about the joys of being a Christian. It's just one lesson of many that I've kind of thought about and working on. And that's what I'm going to continue on today, too, is another aspect of the joys of being a Christian. And why we should be a joyful people and not seen as people walking around in sackcloth and ashes. I can appreciate the comments that Kyle made this morning in our class, talking about those that would be seen out in the world and either for receiving praise because of their giving or also being seen as so humble and, you know, just look at them fasting and, man, they really love the Lord and just look how down and out they are. They're really suffering for the cause of the Lord. But I think today's times have changed in such a way that we should not be walking around in sackcloth and ashes. You know, as I reflect back on my youth and how I was raised in the church, I can remember all the old stories about how people have suffered for the cause of Christ, and even the teachings of Jesus that if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to suffer for the cause. I'm 54 years old, and I hear that sermon many times, and there's truth to that. There are things we're going to suffer in this life because of being a Christian. But over the course of time, I've also seen folks that would teach and say that, you know, it's coming any time, a great, terrible persecution on the church, such as not been seen before. And, you know, we're always facing that threat that, you know, you could die for the cause of Christ. And while that is true, there are places in this world, if you carry your Bible, you're going to be jailed. But, my friends, I think sometimes, and I've said this before, we kind of play the part of a future martyr, or like we're just not quite doing enough. If we're not suffering like those first century Christians did, am I really worthy to be saved? The first lesson I taught about the joys of being a Christian is on salvation. Sometimes we think that, you know, it's just too easy. It seems like I ought to have to be doing more and more to be saved because of the things I've done. But the plan of salvation is pretty simple, isn't it? And by God's grace and mercy, we can be forgiven for the most horrible crimes. There's not anything that we can do to overcome those. Christ did it for us. But through obedience to Him, it's a very, very simple plan. And today I want to look at another thing that might hold us back from showing the joy of being a Christian. And that is sometimes this false sense of we haven't done enough, we haven't suffered enough, we haven't been persecuted enough that we can consider ourselves worthy when we compare ourselves to those in the first century who suffered so horribly. I mean, it's throughout the scriptures and even history records some of the things that happened throughout history too, those that were Christians in that first century. But I want to look at a time that the prophets had spoken about, which are times that I think we're in today, times where I think that we can be joyful in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, because it was a kingdom that was prophesied by the prophets in which there would be joy and peace and righteousness. And one of the prophets that talks about this time is Isaiah. And if you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 65, we're going to read a portion here that I think sometimes people have placed this at a wrong time. It's a time when there would be a new heaven and a new earth. And when we think of that, we think of, okay, at the end of time, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But I think when we look at Isaiah 65, we can see that he is talking about a time in which the kingdom of Christ would be established, which we all agree has taken place. We believe that the kingdom of Christ has come, that we are in that kingdom right now, and that there should be joys that we experience even in this life on earth before that ultimate joy that we all hope for, which is heaven. We all know that that's where finally we will have the ultimate peace. But Jesus didn't come here to provide just a hope for heaven. He also provided a way for us to have a life here that can be filled with goodness and righteousness, and the ability to share that and translate that to the world around us of being lights to them, that they too would want to be like us. In Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 17, here's the words that also sound familiar. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. This language, of course, causes us to think about something further off into our future. It was certainly in the future of these folks. And he says, and the former shall not remember or come to mind, But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And this kind of lends to, well, we still have that going on today, doesn't it? But continue on and read the message. No more shall an infant from here live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall not die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And this is one of the points here. This can't be talking about heaven because we still have birth. We still have young children who are growing old to 100 years. And we have those that are still sinners existing that are still going to be continue sinning, but still accursed. And he continues on, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be descendants of the blessed Lord, and their offspring with them. You see, this isn't talking about something future in heaven. This is talking about the joys of a Christian. The joys that we can experience when the kingdom would come. When this, as he describes it, as a new heaven, new earth. Obviously, heaven wasn't destroyed and a new heaven built. The earth wasn't destroyed and a new earth was built. But when you think about it in a spiritual sense, we live in a new heaven and earth now, because now we have this final kingdom that was prophesied by the prophets, that has been established, that will last forever. But too often I think we think about the physical and not the spiritual nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And when we're talking about the things of the church, then it is like heaven and earth, a new heaven and earth. In fact, the apostles, and I'll just talk about Paul for a second, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, it says, therefore from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. We're talking about something new, something about a new covenant, a new kingdom in which we are. Isaiah said it'd be a time of joy. It'd be a time of prospering, a time when we would be planting our vineyards and reaping from it, a time when they're not going to be taking your possessions away from you for whatever reason. It's a time that we can enjoy the fruits of our labor, and a time that physically on earth we can have joy and experience joy, but more importantly spiritually, the joys that we can have. In fact, whenever we think about it, Paul continues to talk in the Philippians. You know, he was in a time when there was such great persecution. You can read history of what took place back then, but you just read the Bible itself and see the persecution the first century saints had. And I can remember growing up that's my role model. In some way, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to be persecuted, so that I too can receive the benefits and feel like I have done enough to make it to heaven. But you see, my concept is wrong. It's not how much I've done. It's how much Christ has done and me being obedient to that. Certainly there are times whenever my beliefs I'll be persecuted for. And I hate to use that word persecuted, because basically all it is somebody who's not shown an interest in it, or they close the door on my face and I don't even want to talk to you about it. And I walk away, man, I just suffered for the cause of Christ. I'm like the apostles now. Not so. You know how they died martyrs. They were severely persecuted. Let's look at it, what Paul says in Philippians, that even under the persecutions he had faced so far, of either being beaten or being in jail and these sort of things. He says in verse 4 of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's what he tells us to think about. Rather than thinking about how I don't compare to the persecution that I feel like I should have to suffer since I'm a Christian now, because that's what they suffered. He says, rather than thinking about the bad things in life, rather than thinking about how this old world is just so horrible and terrible and how I suffer and all the day long I'm tested and tempted, and man, that's not our life, is it really? We sing those kind of songs sometimes, don't we? But is that really the type of life we have today in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? He says, rejoice. But he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the joy that we have of being Christians in this day. We don't suffer like they had to suffer, yet we still have salvation. The same Christ that saved them is the same Christ that saves us today. The same Christ that predicted they were going to suffer greatly is also the same Christ that said that type of persecution will never happen again to you. We're blessed to be living in these days. As we look at what God, Jesus Christ, has done for us, we know that our sins have been forgiven. But again, we go back to the point of the lesson, and that is, do we really believe it, that we can be worthy, that we've done enough, that we can be saved? And again, it goes to the point, there's not anything you can do about it. You can be obedient to His will, to His commandments. There is a plan of salvation that He has made, and be obedient to that. But you're never going to do enough, and you're never going to suffer enough to have paid for it yourself. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. There are certain things we will suffer, that we will go through in this life, just as simply being human beings. It's common to all men. When it comes to the Christian, sometimes we think that we have to suffer even more than everybody else, or we're not really being a Christian. Well, if you're not being persecuted, if you're not suffering more, then you must not be a good Christian. You're not doing enough, because Christ said the Christian's going to suffer. He talks about the suffering that they would go through at that time. In Matthew 24, verse 15 through 22, he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down or take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath. For then there will be the great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. He says that there's going to be a great persecution that took place. It's going to come upon the people, and people are going to leave the church. People are going to turn back to Judaism. You have the Jews that are persecuting the Christians, and then as it continues on, you see the Romans coming in and persecuting the Christians. There was sore tribulation in those days. It was difficult to be a Christian in these days. Some of them died because of their cause for Christ. But the promise that Jesus made is, there's two things I take away from it. Number one, I do not fear to suffer like they had to suffer back then. I don't fear it. Jesus said it would never be like it was back at that time. So then that causes me to think about the second thing is that, well, if that's the case, then I need to quit trying to pretend I'm a martyr or acting in such a way that I'm waiting for martyrdom in order to be worthy for heaven, because it's not going to happen. In individual cases, we see that these things take place throughout the world. But the severe, wide onslaught of what these people had to suffer back then for the cause of Christ, what we do, my friends, is nothing in comparison. But we shouldn't look down upon that or feel bad about that. What we should do is be joyful. Joyful that Christ suffered, that our debt can be free, and that throughout the circumstances that took place at these times, we'll never have to suffer like they did. Will the time come when we can't worship in the open like this? Who knows? It is that way in some places. But in the type of persecution that they faced, it's no comparison. So one of the things that's helped me be more joyful is to realize that there's nothing I can do anyway, not enough suffering, that I can ever feel like I'm worthy. because there's no way that we can ever become worthy except by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through His grace and mercy that we can go in. There's nothing you and I can do. There's not a certain amount of suffering that you and I can do that's going to calm our minds to think that, am I doing enough for the cause of Christ? Have I suffered enough for the cause? Because right now, there's just too much joy. I'm enjoying being a Christian. And what suffering I do is so little. I don't even call it suffering. I don't have to worry about somebody coming in through the doors and running me off to jail. When I talk about it amongst my friends, I don't have to worry about being hit or arrested or anything like that. They might say, well, that's an interesting concept, Joe, but our church teaches different, and they go on. You know, I didn't suffer too much for that. That's not to say that there aren't things that happen in this world as Christians that we're going to suffer. But a lot of the times, it's the same things that are common to all men. Those are the things that we suffer. But for the cause of Christ, the things that we have to give up are some of the pleasures of this world. The older I get, the easier it is to see that there's not a whole lot of pleasure in this world. But at the same time, I don't listen to the news and think about how this world is so horrible, and I don't even want to get out of bed. It's just a wicked, horrible world. Just look at the news. But my friends, we're living in a time when the kingdom of Christ has been established, and we ought to be joyful. It's not anything different than what they've had from time immemorial. The world has always had wickedness in it. But there's now a time in which righteousness dwells, and that is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. From the spiritual aspect that you look at it, righteousness now dwells. I love being with the people here. We all have a common goal. We're all on the same journey. And we all are persecuted relatively lightly. I hate to even use the word persecuted. There's various trials and things that we face, and we're not talking about some of those things that we suffer on a personal issue. We're talking about our own mind and what holds us back from showing the joy of being a Christian. And one of the joyful things I find is that I'm not going to have to suffer like they did before. Not in the sense that they did then. When we look at what we should do when we come together, in John 15, verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy will remain in you, that your joy may be full." In John 16, 24, Jesus continues, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And we understand what he means by that, just not asking for anything. We're talking about in our spiritual sense, in our lives. Ask and you will receive. In John 17 and verse 13, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." In Acts 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me," said Paul, "nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy." Romans 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about heaven. We're talking about the church and where we live now and the joys that we can have in being a Christian. In Galatians 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness," and goes on through the list. This is who we are. This is what we should be experiencing. We shouldn't be in sackcloth and ashes and about how terrible this world is. One of the things that, as I continue to grow older, is to realize that there's no way I can be worthy and deserving of the salvation of Jesus Christ. There's no way. There's nothing I can do. There's not any amount of suffering that I can go through to feel like I have at least done my part. But through obedience, it's simple. The plan of salvation, in obedience to it, in obedience to God, to Jesus Christ, brings me salvation. And I'm thankful and joyful that I don't have to suffer as they did before. There are certain things that might be uncomfortable. Certainly sometimes life doesn't go the way we plan. And there are certain things that might happen to us on an individual basis, with our jobs or whatever, in which we suffer for the cause of Christ. But my joy is that I don't have to be persecuted like they were. There's joy in that. There is joy from the burden of the sin of guilt. And there's also joy from the burden of doubt that I'm not good enough, and of fear that I don't quite make it. I have no doubts that Jesus Christ is able to continue and promise what he promised all of us. And that is, if we would be obedient to him, we'll have rest for our souls now, and certainly that ultimate rest in the future. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Do you know the joy of being a Christian? Do not doubt, but have full faith and confidence that he can accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish when he came to save man from his sins. This is not a lesson about the problems of human suffering, the things that we might go through on a day-to-day basis, but it is, hopefully, another thing to think about. Just think about the joy of being a Christian, letting our light shine. We haven't had to suffer as much as they did then, but yet we still receive the same blessing. It's kind of like the parable of the vineyard. There's people that have worked all day in the vineyard, and they get paid a day's wage. And there's some people like us. We came in at the 11th hour. We still get the same pay. Some people have provided a whole lot more work in the kingdom than what we have done. There's several different things we can look at in regard to that parable, but I think that's one of the points, is that we've done relatively little work. The burden has been easy. The yoke is nothing now, is it? It's so much easier now for us. So let's take joy and confidence and continue on as we show others the joy they can have in being a Christian. If there's anything we can do for you today, either prayers for the personal things you're going through, if there's a way that we can help you in your spiritual journey to know the joys of being a Christian, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. I am